Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. We're joined by Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent as we talk about city business, and there's always plenty of that to talk about, isn't there, Mr. Mayor?
Always plenty of that. Never a shortage.
Well, one thing that really got done and finally done, I know it's something you've been working on for quite some time, is the finalization of the language and the placement of the board for the tax increment financing district that will be in downtown Moorhead that will be used to help lure development into the city, hopefully.
It's been a good week, and I'll tell you why. We had ours on Monday. The fiscal court had theirs Tuesday, so it's all done now, completed. And we've been Tony Pence, I can't really divulge too much information, but Tony Pence has already been contacted by two people who haven't contacted us before, who the word's getting out there that we have this available. There was a program that you can use in the state where it's similar to the TIF. It's just more restrictive. And a group called us who has investments all over the state in this type of commercial hotel. And they called Tony and said, listen, you know, we would love to have come and see you guys, because they asked us which one we had. We said, well, we have TIF. And they said, that's great, because you can't have both of these programs. Well, the TIF is not as restrictive and potentially has more money that can be gained when you reach that threshold to go through the state. See, we can get local money when they anything that's generated above the baseline. And that can be local money. You can get 80% of that. But then once you reach a certain threshold, as we've talked about, you can get state money. So this person called them and said, listen, our group's very interested. We were glad to know you had this, and we're going to come and talk to you. So there's two groups. And, you know, there's certain things that we're talking about with this. And, of course, nothing is final till it's on the dotted line. We know that. But it's good to know that the word's getting out and people are contacting us instead of us having to go recruit. So it's always better when people come to you. It gives you a little bit better opportunity to sift out instead of having to go and beg and steal and borrowing, as we say. So we feel pretty good that, you know, something may come about. We don't have a timetable. Of course, as you know, as we've talked about other projects, we've been trying to get going for the last 2.5 years. It just takes time. But the bottom line is it's a positive movement in the right direction.
I will say, maybe was there an advantage in taking your time and putting this together, because it's been pretty well publicized what Moorhead and Rowan County are doing regarding the TIF, and that's helped more people know about it, thus perhaps more potential developers?
I believe it is. It's a process that takes a long time, because anything you do like this ordinance-wise has to have two readings. Well, we had to have two readings on just naming the district and outline, and we had to have two readings on being able to utilize the state. Then we had to have two readings on getting the board. So all those take us 2 months every time, unless you want to have special meetings, and we were only able to have one. But what that does every step of the way, you know, you're dealing with a state here, and you're dealing with KRS, and you're dealing with things that get constantly published and updated. You know, so when someone calls the state Economic Development Cabinet, or they call the state Tourism, or they call whatever, there's a list out there. And these folks who want to come and invest, they look at those lists, and they see what people are doing. And, you know, Moorhead has been in the news lately, and I think you're right. I think being patient, not only because we didn't really have a choice, but you can look at it two different ways. Gosh, it's taken a long time to get this. Yes. But on the other hand, it's been very fruitful, or could be, let's say, very fruitful in the future, in the fact that it stays out in the news. It stays very topical as we go. So, you know, we're just continuing to move forward, and we our ideal would be to have a some sort of a hotel with a commercial first floor, you know, something like, you know, have different commercial retail stores on the bottom, and then a hotel up there, and what it may do too. There's all kinds of potential. You know, we may go in and join a group like that if they come in and promise to bring $10 million investment in here. Well, why can't we go try and seek and try to help them maybe with the parking situation? And so there's all of that can be used towards the quota you have to meet, and all of that can be used towards the different levels you have to meet for incentives to kick in, because it's all in that district. That's what's good. Everything we do in this district from now on that is for economic development and is to bring new business downtown can be used to put back into it. So that's a good thing.
I'll ask you this. When you talk about this downtown hotel, and this has been pretty much the centerpiece of the discussion when you talk about enacting a TIF district downtown, how realistic is it in your mind that this can happen?
Oh, I think we'll have an opportunity to potentially have an agreement with someone, I'm hoping within the next couple years to bring a hotel downtown. And I tell you why, and this is what I want people out there who are already investing in our community. This is not shying away from the folks that's already invested in the hotels we have now. This TIF district is open for any new development. So if you folks out there have investments in other hotels already or other businesses, whatever, this is open to them too. This is all just new investment in that area. So we don't want folks to think we're not taking care of our own. This is open to everybody. We this is something that the folks who came in here and built their hotels, they didn't have this because there wasn't a TIF district. So, we see that and we're given that opportunity. If we have local developers, we're at the point now we want to have the best opportunity to grow our downtown, and we want it to be with local if possible. If not, then someone who comes in from out of the area. We just want to make them make ourselves more marketable. That's what it's all about.
Do you feel this hotel could be the linchpin to a domino effect in that district? You get the hotel, and then all of a sudden other things will be locating in that same part of the city.
I'm going to Owensboro next Wednesday for the KAED conference, which is the economic development group in the state. And I've been to Owensboro three times. It'll be the fourth time I've been there since I've been mayor. And I've got to be really good friends with a fellow named William Parrish, who's a city commissioner. And William and I have become really good friends and talking about this. That's what they did, okay? We don't have the opportunity to own a lot of land where we can just give away an acre of land that's valued now anywhere from a half a million to $750,000 in downtown Moorhead. That's what it's going for. We don't have that. We can't do that. Some other cities can. But what Owensboro was able to do on their river walk area, which was depleted, it was just a terrible, terrible area as far as development. There was nothing would go down there. It was blighted and all that. So what they did, they took a federal grant to literally work on their shoreline of the river there and help the erosion. And they took that and they said, we're going to build a conference center there. So with the promise of the conference center coming, a hotel came in and built beside it. It was so successful, they built a second hotel. Now there's a third hotel going up. There's going to be restaurants going up that nobody would ever come down there. But because you have the hotel and you have the conference center, well, guess what? We already have the conference center. So right now, in talking to a lot of folks at tourism and talking to Jamie Breeze, who does a great job, he's the director there of the Moorhead Conference Center. When people look to come to Moorhead to bring conferences or to bring anything that's going to last more than a couple of days, they have a checklist. Okay, Lexington, Louisville, Ashland. They go down the list. They say, okay, Moorhead, yeah, well, they don't have a hotel within walking distance. Okay, we'll move on, go to the next city. That happens a lot automatically. So we know right off the bat we're going to have an increase in tourism based on conferences. Anything that would require at least one night stay, we're going to do that. Nothing wrong with our hotels now, but when people come and they do conferences, they want to have places. We all know this. They either have them in the conference center with a hotel conference center combo, or they have them close to a hotel so they can walk right across the street. So we think the ideal situation is to have this adjacent to the hotel or the conference center, either in the back parking lot area or off to one side or the other. There's some property there. Again, we don't know all the logistics and we don't know what people are wanting. But ideally, if that happens, naturally you will have supportive businesses coming in. Little boutique shops, who knows what would come in, but, potential other restaurants, cafes, everything. Now, we don't want it to hurt people downtown we already have, but I think anytime you get an opportunity to bring more people in, well, just because you have a cafe attached to a hotel don't mean that's where everybody's going to go. If you have something within walking distance of our other downtown restaurants, businesses, it's a no-brainer.
The point being, and we've talked about this in terms of revitalizing a downtown, more people downtown, they need more goods and services, and that means a need for more places that provide those goods and services?
The whole thing we've been working on with Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and with New Cities and with the county fiscal court and with the city, what we've been trying to do, this has been going on before I came in. It'll be going on after I leave. But one of the things I've been trying to be very active in is livability. Over 50% of the folks that live, that work in Moorhead and Round County, Moorhead especially, live outside of the county. Now, some of that could be attributed to Bath County, Fleming, Morgan, Menifee, Lewis, Carter, Elliott, our surrounding counties, that people just live across the border. And that's true. But there's still a large chunk of people who live in other metropolitan areas because of the fact that they have amenities that we don't have. So the more we can create, you know, look, if you bring in a hotel, it's going to bring in visitors. That's going to be tax money. That's going to allow you to do more things downtown, have more things. It's going to need support services. It's going to need support businesses. It's going to need all this stuff. It's going to help the tax base. We're going to need more better housing for young professionals. Guess what? These doctors that are coming in are going to stay. Professors are going to stay. Young professionals are going to stay. And people who are moving, look what they got going on in Moorhead. Right now, there's a big boon that we want to see similar to what's going on in Bowling Green. Bowling Green built a downtown hotel on Big Red Way, right there close to the university, and we're kind of trying to create our own Big Blue Way, kind of with the, you know, we put the flags up, we've made the four-way stop up there and all those things, and they did that, and they worked together with the university, and that's what this is for. This is going to better the university, the hospital, the downtown citizens, everyone. And our whole thing is to raise the livability standard in Moorhead so it becomes not only a destination for people to come and take advantage of our trails and our beautiful scenery and our arts and our music and all the things we have here that drive people here, but it's going to cause people to want to stay here and live here. That's the ultimate. The more people that stay here and pay occupational taxes and property taxes, that raises that up for everybody, and we don't have to go and raise taxes ourselves.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. We'll talk some more with Mayor Trent right after this.
WMKY serves the region with news and entertainment showcasing our rich Appalachian heritage. WMKY broadcasts at 90.3 FM from the historic campus of Moorhead State University. We value your comments and ask that you take a moment to share your feedback on our programming. Use the comment form found under the support tab on our website, wmky.org. Thanks for listening to WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at wmky.org.
Welcome back to today's front page. I'm your host, Chuck Morales. Again, Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is joining us. And Mayor Trent, I want to ask you about something that came about here recently in talking with City Parks and Recreation Director David Morris. And he is a very key part, of course, of the Moorhead Round County Joint Recreation Committee. And they've come forward to both the city and the county talking about an insurance premium tax increase. For you guys, I guess in the city, it would involve maybe taxing a few more insurance premiums. They're asking the county basically to enact some sort of insurance tax premium or insurance premium tax. So, I mean, just kind of what are your thoughts about that? Is it workable? Can it happen?
Well, first of all, tomato, tomato, I prefer to use the word fee. But, you know, when you use the other word, people run and get the pitchforks and the torches and start storming the castle. But to be honest with you, in all seriousness, under the state of Kentucky right now, the cities and counties can use the insurance premium fee or tax, however you want to say it, to generate income. All right. There are seven different income streams that you can use. Number one is you've got fire, you've got then casualty, you've got inland marine, you've got auto, you've got health, and you've got property. Okay, so when you take all of those and you start looking at them, we right now in the city have a 5% insurance premium on fire, on inland marine, and on casualty. Okay, that brings in roughly $200,000 a year. And again, this is based on premium. So if someone has a higher premium, they're going to pay a higher amount. Lower premium, it's not a blanket, everybody pays this much, okay? So look, but that's nice. But you look at Mount Sterling, for example. Mount Sterling has 10% on all of those, plus health, life, and auto. So of those six income streams, you know what that generates for Montgomery County or Mount Sterling alone every year? $1.2 million that they use for infrastructure needs, recreation needs, new fire trucks, whatever. We're very low. Ashland is at 10%. Everyone around us is at least 9 to 10%. If we were to simply raise and go in and put it on the auto alone, that would mean another $100,000 for us alone, potentially $300,000 a year, and that goes up a little bit. Again, auto. You drive a Lamborghini, I know you don't, but if you did, and I drove a Chevette, you would pay more because the premium on your would be higher, just to let everybody know in simple terms here. If the county would go in and match us with the three we have and add auto like us at 5% across, $1.1 million we could share to put towards new roads, bridges, things that we have shortfalls right now because of the road fund, you know, with the gas, where they put the floor on that when the gas was going so low. Those are things we're all seeing shortages on. So this wouldn't be just for recreation. This would give you an extra amount of money that you wouldn't have to, quote-unquote, raise taxes to do. And it's a potential. Right now, the county has none. They have no insurance premium on anything across the board. So we have the three, and it could be something that would slowly go up pretty much each year. And the more people we get to come because of this new downtown developments or potential developments, it's just going to go up. I talked to the mayor, who's a friend of mine from Mount Sterling, and I asked him, I said, how valuable? He said, we run our city off of this. He said, we couldn't have our emergency services. We couldn't have new sidewalks. He said, this is, you know, we're only talking about going 5% here. You can go as high as 15% by the law. And Montgomery's at 10, or Mount Sterling, Montgomery doesn't have any. They don't need to with the city raising it that much money. So Montgomery doesn't have any. So we're at 5%, still way lower than a lot of people. And but anytime you mention the T word, everyone gets nervous. But we're talking about, you know, 5% on $100.
So yeah, so how much are we talking to the average person?
Well, let's say the average person, let's say, I don't know what your car, for example, if we were to do it on your car, let's say you have even if you have $1,000 premium on your car, that's $50 a year. That's what it would be, right? Is that right? 5% of $1,000 is $50? That's what it would be. So, you know.
And there's a point to be made here, because when you sent out the surveys last summer regarding recreation and people's desires for improved programs and facilities, there was also a question regarding, would you be willing to pay, say, $50 a year or, you know, more to help with this? And many people did say yes. But now I guess what you're saying is, are you willing to put your money where your mouth is?
Ironically, 85% of the folks that responded to that, we had a very good turnout on the survey, very good return. We had over 11,000 surveys. Almost 2,000 came back, which is tremendous. You know, surveys are usually 5 to 6%. We got that much, which is pretty good. 85% of the folks said they'd be willing to pay $50 or more. It was higher than that to pay $25 more. So, you know, if you look at that right there and you start adding all that up, I'm telling you, and ironically, those 85% of the people that took the survey were county outside the city limits. 85% of the people who play and participate in our city leagues with our little leagues, basketball, all that, are county residents, not city residents. I found that kind of interesting how those were up. And so those are things that, you know, we have the numbers, we have the data, and this is how that would work. You get your insurance policy in. Let's say it's an auto insurance policy. You look down through there, and it's whatever it is. Some people pay quarterly. I pay quarterly, for example. And so let's say $50 is broken down quarterly. That's $1,250, right? So you look down through, what's this $1,250? Oh, that goes to the city. You know, most people don't go through theirs with a fine-tooth comb, unless there's a large amount difference between 1 month to the one quarter to the other. So what I'm saying is, you know, that will be, it's very minimal. It's paid into your insurance. The insurance then turns around at the end of the year and cuts a check to the city or the county or whatever the municipality is. So, and I've been working closely with the insurance fella up at the state, and he, you know, he said this is very common, and I've got a printout at my office of all of the counties and cities that do it, and it's something that, you know, is very, very much needed.
Well, I'll ask you this question then, coming back to the bottom line, because of the results of what you saw on the survey and the fact that there has been more and more of a groundswell of support for improvements in recreational facilities and programs, you think that people would get behind this?
I think so. I think it becomes like anything else. It has to be an education process. It's here today, talking about it, I appreciate you allowing us to talk about it today, is a big part of it. But here's the thing. It has to be done at a certain time of the year. We've already missed our opportunity for this year. It has to be done by the middle of March. I had to have two readings by the middle of March of each year before it to be enacted. Then it will be enacted in July of that year, and then it'll be a year before you would see the money for that. So, in a sense, we missed the boat this year, so we're going to be behind like 2 years.
But that gives you a chance to, as you say,
educate
people about the benefits of doing this.
It is, and we may do another survey on that and show people what the average would be, and because it would be something that that the county and city could do with two readings. It's something that has been wanted to happen. There's been some folks in city government who've wanted to do it for a couple years, and it's always been shot down. People have not liked it for one way or the other. But I think having the survey there, and again, this is not all going to go to recreation. Here's the thing.
You can buy a new fire truck, and I know that you need a new ladder truck.
$1 million.
Yeah, $1 million.
$1 million, yeah. And here's the thing with that. See, you can't. It's illegal to earmark that money to go right in. So we couldn't do that anyway. It would go into the general fund. But then, you know, if we told the people, which we would, look, a percentage of this is what we're going to try to use for this, a percentage of this, you know, and we're very transparent. You know, since I've been in there, we've had, and in the previous administration, we've had good audits. You know, we do a very good job of being good stewards of the money. We take it very seriously. We double, triple check stuff all the time. So this is something we would do because it's necessary, and it wouldn't cause us to go out and raise the other quote unquote normal taxes that people even hate to do that. This is something of the potential things you could raise money with. This is the least, in my opinion, least painful to do as far as the consumer, not just us, but as the consumer. So there's an education process, and you just have to do it. And I really believe, and you don't just do this under the cloak of darkness. I want it to be out there. I want them to know what it's for, what we're going to hopefully use it for, and hear feedback from our folks.
Let's move on to a topic we discuss on a regular basis. I know that you're still working on getting the new police and fire stations built, and at this point it looks like it will be two separate stations. But what's the latest on that?
We have it narrowed down. I can safely say it's narrowed down to two now, and I'm meeting with a surveyor at the end of this week who surveyed one of the pieces of land that is potentially there may need to be some work done there for drainage and that kind of thing. So all that factors in. You know, you fly over, you can put a drone over Moorhead, and, oh, look at that, that's great, you know. But then there's always, you know, there's always what you can't see. It's what you got to worry about. So we have two pieces of land that we're looking at, and I feel confident that they're both would be adequate to possibly, if we do a two-story building, we could still, I'm holding out hope, do a combination. So my goal, again, like I told you before, is to try to have something underway, maybe a piece of property secured and plans being started by the end of this calendar year. So I hope to have an answer for it. I cannot wait to come in here and tell you we've got a piece of land and we're starting on it. But, you know, we're just trying to do our due diligence. There's always something. It's very complicated, and we want to make sure we have all of our I's dotted and T's crossed.
When you think you might, and maybe this is a goal that you set for yourself in terms of a major decision, and, okay, there's our spot, we're going to buy this place or we're going to buy these two places.
Well, I'll tell you how serious we are about it. We're in the middle of budget right now, and we have to have our budget finished for first reading purposes by the second Monday of May, so we can have our second reading by the second Monday of June to enact it for the fiscal year 17-18. And we've already put $100,000 in the budget to prep. Do plans, so we're going to do something this year, calendar year. So I'm hoping that, depending on this survey, will mean a lot to us, because the council is like me. I think they're to the point now, let's just go ahead and do this thing. Let's get it going. Because right now, we fortunately, again, through the very strict and very thoughtful process of taking very seriously the fact that we're stewards of the taxpayers' money, we're back up to almost maximum bonding capacity. We've paid off several things now. We've had really good audits. We've came in under budget each time, all of our departments. So we're in pretty good shape right now. So this is probably one of the best times to go ahead and do that. Council realizes that. Our budget committee, which is made up of me, our city attorney, city clerk, and three council members, we all feel confident that we can do that. So I'm hoping to come in and announce something before fall.
All right. Well, as always, Mr. Mayor, thanks so much for coming over.
Thank you very much.
Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent, our guest today on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Mraz. We'll see you next time.